Legal online gambling is expected to take off in Connecticut this month. Leading up to this, there's been a lot of discussion on how it will affect residents with gambling addictions. Michelle Siegel is the Department of Consumer Protection Commissioner, and she says the state has set up a self-exclusion list for problem gamblers.
It's a way for people in Connecticut who recognize that they have or may be susceptible to have a problem with gambling to be able to put themselves on this list, which will then be shared with the businesses that are going to be offering expanded gaming in the state.
The state also requires online gambling operators to provide gamblers prompts to let them know how much time they're spending gambling and whenever their betting exceeds $2,500.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, the vaccine deadline for New York healthcare workers is quickly approaching. New Haven is expecting some unwanted guests this weekend and diversifying the Suffolk County Police Department.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. Happy Friday.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is bracing for a Monday vaccination deadline for the state's healthcare workers. She's concerned the delay will intensify staffing shortages at hospitals and nursing homes. Karen DeWitt reports.
A provision that prevents healthcare workers from claiming religious exemptions has been temporarily put on hold while a lawsuit proceeds. Legal arguments are scheduled for next week. There are concerns that some of the 16% of healthcare workers who are not yet vaccinated may quit or be prevented from working, intensifying already existing staffing shortages. The governor says that can be avoided if the remaining workers get their shots in the next few days.
It does not have to happen, my friends. It does not have to happen. What is looming for Monday is completely avoidable. And there's no excuses.
Hochul says she's taking steps to import healthcare workers from the Philippines and other countries if necessary, and is working with the federal State Department to speed up visa processes. She's also looking into altering state licensing requirements and is negotiating with top healthcare workers' unions to enact pay incentives that might encourage existing staff to work more overtime hours. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Motorcyclists from around the Northeast are expected to descend on New Haven tomorrow, but the city is making it clear that the event is actually illegal and unwelcome. Ali Ashinsky reports.
Mayor Justin Elicker has a simple message for bikers planning to ride into New Haven this weekend.
Do not come to this event.
It's called East Coasting, and it's been hosted by the motorcycle group the East Coasting Crew for the past 4 years. Bikers gather to watch and perform stunts and wheelies. Last year, thousands attended, even though there was no permit.
We told them last year that they were not allowed to have the event, and they went forward and did it, and it had a huge impact on our city and the resources.
New Haven police say this year's event is canceled because the city hasn't granted a permit. But there's debate as to why. East Coast and organizers say their attempts to get a permit were delayed, but the city says that the bikers didn't apply in time. Police say they had been in touch with the group since April about a safe way to hold the event. Police are prepared to stop the event on Saturday if necessary. They say they'll be ticketing and towing illegally parked cars, and if things get out of hand, they'll make arrests. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Ali Oshinsky.
Suffolk police say their new hires are the most diverse in the county's history, but statistics don't reflect a major improvement. More on that coming up, but first headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
FedEx wants to hire 1,200 people in Connecticut. It's part of an effort to staff up for the holiday package rush and respond to the demand for online shopping during the pandemic. The company hired more than 600 package workers in May around the Hartford area.
Connecticut and New York residents who are at least 65 years old, live in long-term care facilities, or who are immunocompromised are eligible for the COVID-19 booster shot now. A Centers for Disease Control panel announced on Thursday those eligible can get booster shots 6 months after their second Pfizer vaccine dose. People who received the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are not yet eligible.
Barney the Bull has been found. You remember over the summer that viral video from someone's doorbell camera of a bull running down the street? Well, he's actually been on the run on Long Island for 3 months now, but was finally found in Mariches on Wednesday. An animal rescue advocate from New Jersey named Mike Stura set up a trap to corral the bull. Stura will now keep Barney safe at Skyland Sanctuary and Animal Rescue in New Jersey. Over the last several months, the Suffolk County Police Department has touted a number of promotions and hires that it calls the most diverse in the county's history. However, an analysis of employment statistics shows almost no improvement and that Suffolk police are still a long way off from reflecting the people it's meant to serve and protect. WSHU's Charles Lane has more.
Earlier this year, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone stood in the Police Academy Gymnasium and swore in a new class of 104 cadets.
The most effective way that we can improve, enhance.
Proudly, Ballone said 28% of them were minorities.
Is to make sure the department reflects the diversity of the communities that we serve.
A month later, Ballone announced a new class of detectives. He again called it the most diverse in the county's history. And last month, he trumpeted the promotion of the first person of color to the rank of chief, saying that he is laser-focused on diversifying the department. At the time, county officials declined to give specific demographics about these promotions. But police employment records obtained through a Freedom of Information request show that despite the county's diversity efforts, Suffolk Police added only 5 non-white officers to the department, meaning that the number of officers who describe themselves as white has remained stuck at around 85%. That, in a county that's only 66% white. And promotions within the police department didn't fare much better. The number of people of color in jobs that rank above entry-level police officer increased by just 0.2%. Suffolk Detective Sergeant Jeffrey Walker says, at least for black officers, they don't see a fair process.
It's very easy if you get frustrated on a job and you believe that opportunities weren't afforded you to maybe not put yourself out there again.
Walker is president of the Guardians, Suffolk's fraternal organization for black police officers. He says the Guardians have brought up the issue of promotions repeatedly with elected officials over the years. But according to him, nothing really changed.
What I made it a point to focus on, we need an equitable process. That was something that I think that we had to work on as a police department.
According to Deputy Police Commissioner Risco Mention Lewis, the reason why these efforts didn't materialize into a more diverse police force is because of retirements and the small pool of non-white candidates taking entrance tests.
It took me 2 years to figure out how to recruit in a way that people of color would come in with higher numbers.
She says the most recent police class in April was successful at recruiting non-white candidates, but that success couldn't offset the number of officers of color who are leaving the department. And she says the same thing happened with promotions. Although the department promoted 11 non-white officers, there were 7 retirements of non-white officers. Again, Mention Lewis blames the small ratio of candidates of color for promotion compared to the number of white officers.
When that number increases, you're going to get more numbers because you're not going to have a 1-to-8 ratio taking that test. You may have a 3-to-8 ratio or a 3-to-7 ratio.
Officials for Ballone say that they are not happy with the department's lack of diversity and have been working to improve it. They largely fault the civil service process, which they say put up barriers to candidates of color. And they point out that for positions where discretionary appointments are allowed, those ranks are less white, though still far from reflecting Suffolk's population. Randolph McLaughlin is a civil rights lawyer and labor law professor at Pace University. He says nothing will change without court intervention.
The only club that the department will respect is a judgment and an order from a judge. a federal judge.
Both Suffolk and Nassau County Police Departments have already been operating under federal consent decrees for over 35 years. But critics argue those haven't worked to change the department. While Suffolk has fewer officers of color, the higher in rank one looks, Nassau is about the same. 87% of its officers are white. 88% of its officers above the rank of detective are white. Nassau police officials did not respond to multiple inquiries. McLaughlin says of both police departments, it's just a matter of time before more people file discrimination lawsuits. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org.
And as always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great weekend.